This is a production of Membercare Media, a ministry of TWR. It's copyrighted and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
Hello again. This is Brent with my coworker Paul, and we're working through the whole issue of sexual wholeness. We've been talking about core issues and issues from our past, and we want to continue that discussion during this time.
Great. Where we left off last time, we were talking about, if you all remember, core issues from childhood, core issues that tend to exist for individuals who struggle with sexual compulsivity. And the same can be said for people who struggle with alcoholism or drug addiction. There's a broken part of us early on or in our childhood, and certain behaviors in our adult life that make it more likely that we're going to engage in those kind of behaviors. What we had just been talking about was the core issues in childhood. Again, real quickly, kind of family of origin issues, kind of how we were brought up. In addition, the other characteristics that can be present are people who have had other substance problems. There's a real increase now in individuals who perhaps in their late teen years, early 20s, struggled with alcoholism or drug addiction, who came to Christ and now have begun to really radically transform their lives. And out of the blue, they're hit with this thing, wow, why am I struggling in this area? I've had so much victory. I've been able to overcome all these areas in my life. Why am I struggling in this one area? What we're finding is individuals who have had substance abuse problems later in life can also develop problems with sexual compulsivity. They tend to have similar, they activate similar mechanisms, emotionally, physically. I begin to get that good feeling now. It's an external feeling that allows me to feel good. And individuals who struggle with drug addiction need to monitor what they put in their life because it's easy to develop other habits again. And that's really essentially what happens with sexual compulsivity. It becomes a habit, an ongoing habit.
So if I understand you, what you're saying is that let's say that somebody has a fairly active adolescence and college life in terms of alcohol abuse, or that, you know, maybe no one ever told them they were dependent on alcohol, but they were binging, you know, drinking too much, getting drunk, or on some other kind of activity that was addictive, completely outside of the sexual arena, and they stop that either through a conversion experience or growing out of it or whatever, that they are at risk to put in some sexually compulsive habits in the vacuum, maybe.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And again, that doesn't mean that, and again, I think of the person who now is, you know, sitting listening to the radio program that says, oh my goodness, there was that one time in college I drank too much before I knew Christ, and now this means I'm going to have this problem. It's not what it means. What core issues are, it's not cause and effect. These are common characteristics that when I've been working with people in recovery for sexual problems, and a lot of the research shows, common characteristics. So that helps us make more sense. So if it's happened, doesn't mean you're automatically going to have a problem with sexual disorders, but a lot of people who do have problems with sexual disorders have had these things happen. In addition, people who struggled with anxiety and depression, people who tend to get, and another word for anxiety is really, really nervous, really, really worked up, hard time to relax, always kind of feeling like the shoe's getting ready to drop, or ongoing feeling down, just kind of hopeless. Again, those are individuals who tend to struggle with sexual compulsivity. They've found a way now to medicate. When I'm acting out, when I'm looking at something on the computer, when I'm engaging in a specific behavior, I feel better, or at least I don't feel as anxious.
What about stress? I mean, you describe very, very nervous. One of the components of stress is nervousness,
right?
Feeling pressured, feeling hopeless, which is a depression type of response.
I think the reframe I'd put on it is it's not stress in and of itself. Mm-hmm. We live in a stress-filled world.
Sure.
We do all kind of, and all kinds of things go on that add to stress, but it's the inability to manage stress. I don't mean that judgmentally. I don't mean it, oh gosh, this person can't handle it, but for whatever reason, I can't handle lots and lots of stress. That doesn't mean we change what we do, but it means we do things like you talk about, taking our mini vacations. Am I taking care of myself? Little stuff. I've got a guy in one of my accountability groups that makes sure I drink enough water. And I mean, and it's little stuff like that. He says, hey, are you drinking enough water? And I laughed at him when he told me that. And I said, what do you mean? Do I drink enough water? Why are you always so worried about that? He goes, you know what? It's a way that you take care of yourself. And I mean, as a result of that, I do. And for me, it is a little mini vacation that I'm stopping long enough to take care of me. So it's learning how to manage stress. People who weren't taught how to manage stress or to deal with it, again, will find a way to medicate their reaction to stress by acting out sexually.
Wow. That's really, really interesting and somewhat foreboding how you kind of draw all this stuff together. And, you know, I think we're walking a very fine line of being overwhelmed by the possibilities or the issue. You know, it's sort of like maybe getting pushed into a corner of, you know, am I having these problems? Once again, though, just because you may be having these other problems doesn't mean you're going to be dealing with or you are dealing with and you're being dishonest. Issues of sexual compulsivity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. A lot of people get, you know, we're going to begin to look at, it's easy when we start hearing information like this to look at people around us and say, okay, well, so-and-so, well, I know how they grew up and I know what they did and they're under a lot of stress. I bet they're having this problem. You know what? Let's not jump to that conclusion. I think we're having the conversation so that people can be aware of it. If it's something that's going on, it's something that can be dealt with. God desires us to be sexually whole.
Yeah.
Not to make big assumptions, not to worry, not to be in fear. I mean, we're having this conversation and the people that are hearing it today, if you are out there struggling in this area, you're hearing this message because you're supposed to be hearing the message.
Yeah.
Not to feel condemned, not to feel like God's out to get you. It's supposed to be a message of hope. I'm not going to come on and say, oh gosh, it's going to be all fun and it's going to be all great, but it will in the future. These are areas where we can get through these things. You can get through this. You'll work through this. And you're going to be able to be more of what God has intended for us to be. God loves us absolutely when we're struggling in any kind of area. And just because this happens to be an area where we're struggling, it doesn't mean we're going to struggle here forever. God has a plan for us to work through all these areas. That's why I think he's allowing us to be able to have conversations with people. God knows our needs, and he'll provide a way for us to get through it.
You know, I was thinking as you were talking about the, you know, to pick on us guys right at the moment, you know, if I was the wife of somebody, you know, listening to this and, you know, and I'd be wondering, well, you know, my husband is stressed out. He's doing this. I wonder if he has a problem, you know, and then, you know, then what do we do with that? You know, we've tried to give you at the end of each program, some ideas about how to think about things and maybe how to talk about things. I think it'd be important at this point to talk about how to broach the subject together. This isn't something to just, you know, to use Paul's model, which in his family appears that you just blurt things out. Not
that is
kidding,
what we do in our family. Yeah. It's the ADD family.
Right, yeah. But, yeah. You know, you don't have, not all of us are like that. Some of us are much more cautious, a bit threat sensitive. We're worried about the response. The fear of the response sometimes prevents us from opening up about some of these things. And so for those of you out there that are feeling a little uncomfortable about this, I think you need to talk about talking about it. Now, well, that sounds like a therapist, doesn't it? Well, what I mean there is to say things like one, the blunt way would be, honey, I know you're having that problem. Or at least I'm pretty sure you're having that problem because everything that those two guys said,
right,
you're dealing with.
Accusation.
Okay, now usually in guys or in human beings, that makes us feel rather defensive. So that's probably not the best approach. On the other hand, if we were to say, honey, this has really been impacting me. This has really been making me think. And I'm wondering, you know, I can't remember when we've last talked in detail about some of these issues, and I'm really kind of feeling like, could we talk about this?
Setting the stage, too.
The husband can say, no.
No.
But at least it's setting the stage, right, to, as you say, and it's putting things in the context of, we need to have this as part of our talking. Because I know that when we bring things out of the shadows, out of darkness and into the light, they are able to be discussed, sometimes painfully, but sometimes with a lot of healing and involved as well. So if you're sitting there thinking, as you're listening to this, how do you begin to talk about it? Well, you begin to talk about it by beginning to talk about it. You talk about when you're going to talk about it. Would you ever feel comfortable talking about this? Is there a way that we could talk about this because I would like to talk? Those are kind of preparatory stage setting types of things. Well, we've run out of time again, so we're going to have to go from here. And I just like to say thanks for listening. I've given you some pretty difficult assignments to think about between now and the next time you hear from us. But you can do this. It's not impossible, and it doesn't always need to only incur in a therapeutic session. It's communication. It's normal.
And it's relationship.
And it's relationship. Talk to you next time.
Thank you for listening to this Member Care Media presentation. We hope you found it helpful. Please explore the many other topics on this website. We invite your comments and your suggestions. This feature may not be reproduced without written permission.